This is one of those stories that is brimming full of opportunities to talk about. So what do we know about this story? Let's take a look at some of the characters. In particular, I'm going to invite us to ponder the woman. Now, what do we know about this woman? Well, she's there, and we're told that she's bent over. Her body is bent over. She's afflicted with something that has caused her body to be bent over. And she's been this way for 18 years. That's a long time to be bent over. Now, I can relate a little bit to, like, if I've played basketball, I've gone on a hike and I tweak my back and it's like, oh, gee whiz, here we are. But though usually in a day or so, I'm back. But for 18 years, she has been afflicted with something that has caused her to be bent over. And I pondered what it must be like for her. How does she encounter the world? What is her view of the world? And so you walk around bent over, and your view and your engagement with the world is from your feet to just a little bit beyond your own feet. This is how you engage with the world. So in order for me to engage with Scott, I got to come over and first see his feet. Ah, Scott's here, right? This is how this woman has engaged in this world for 18 years. And it's hard for me to imagine what that must have been like, to have a world view that is only my feet and a little bit beyond it. But that's what we're told. She is there in this gathering place, in the synagogue. And we're also told that Jesus is there. Now, something significant happens. Jesus notices this woman, which is quite remarkable because she's bent over and she's a woman. Now, we need to go back into that culture where, the reality was the women did not have a high place of esteem at all. And so to be noticed is significant as a woman. And then she was bent over. There was something wrong with her, and Jesus notices her. So Jesus sees her and calls her over. Now, you're bent over. You're being called over by a voice. So you head towards the voice. And then this woman who has been bent over for 18 years, and her worldview is that of her feet and a little bit beyond, she first comes to Jesus. What does she see? His feet. His feet. Now, her world is her feet and Jesus' feet. And then she hears these words from Jesus. They're really kind of interesting. She hears, "Woman, you're free." Now, he doesn't say you are healed, doesn't say you are forgiven. No, you are free. Now, if you are bent over and have been this way for 18 years and you hear these words coming from the source that you see the feet of, you've got to be a little confused, don't you? What does he mean? I'm free. And then Jesus lovingly, compassionately touches her. And immediately, her worldview changes because then she is able to stand straight. And now what does she see? Jesus' face. And she can see everybody else's face and beyond. And how do you respond after 18 years of being like this and your worldview has been your feet and a little bit beyond, and now you can see far beyond that? What and how do you respond? You give glory to God. You praise God. Now, it's interesting that Luke tells us that she praises God. She doesn't praise Jesus. She praises God. Now, does she know something about Jesus? Don't know. But she praises God. And that seems to be an appropriate thing to do, won't you say? You've been like this for 18 years and seen other feet walk by you. Because nobody's going to stop and talk to you because you are bent over. There must be something wrong with you. That must mean you are unclean. That must mean you must have done something to make God do this to you. Because that's what they thought. So you're bent over for 18 years. And now you can see beyond. You praise God. That's appropriate. You praise God. Now there's somebody else in this group. And who else is there in this story that we're told about? The leader of this synagogue. The one who's in charge of this synagogue, this gathering. Now he has just witnessed Jesus calling over this woman who has been bent over for 18 years. I wonder if anybody else even noticed her. And we're not told, but I wonder. So this leader has been watching this, and now this woman who has been bent over 18 years stands up straight and she praises God. And if you've seen something like this, how are you going to respond? You're going to be ticked off. You're furious. And there's a part of me inside go, what do you mean you're furious? But he is. This leader is furious with Jesus. Why? Because he's broken the rules. Rules and laws that were clear. You do not do work on the Sabbath. It is clear, and he is right. You do not do work on the Sabbath, and a healing is an act of work. So you have broken the rules. Just that one, and then there are probably others. You called a woman over and placed her at the center, and you touched her in her weakness. So you've broken all kinds of rules, and this leader is really upset with Jesus. How is this going to look to him? You're the one. You're the leader of that synagogue, that gathering of people where Jesus comes, and there are rules broken all over the place. How is this going to look on you? If you don't have the rules and the laws to follow, what do you got? So he's ticked off. How's this going to look on me? And so he's angry, but he's angry with Jesus. Who does he talk to? Jesus? Nope. I don't know if you noticed that. He starts talking to the woman and anybody else that's gathered there that's thinking about being healed. And he says, 6 days, for 6 out of the 7 days of the week, if you want to be healed, show up on one of those days. But on the Sabbath, this day, no, that's against the rules, that's against the law. Don't show up on this day. He's angry with Jesus, but he's yelling at the rest of the people. Don't show up if you want to be healed on the Sabbath. And he's right. According to the law, he is right. Now Jesus fires back, though. You fraud. You hypocrites. These are strong words aimed directly at the leaders of the synagogue. Now it's leaders. Anybody else who's sitting there going, yeah, that's right, the leader is right. Leaders, you're frauds. You're hypocrites. Each and every one of you has gone to your animals in the stalls and the mangers and have untied them on this day, on Sabbath, and taken them to have water. And you haven't thought a thing about it. But this woman, you get all angry because I free her. This daughter of Abraham, I free her, and you get all upset? You frauds, you hypocrites. Now the crowd's been watching this. And the leaders now are going, oh my gosh, how's this going to look? And I wonder who has the world view of just their own feet and a little bit beyond now. Who is bent over and bound by a worldview that this is the way it needs to be. This is what I know, so it can't change from this. This is where I have control, is this right here. And now that's being challenged. What do I have now? And do I need to be freed? I've been pondering this and wondering what in my life has me bound to basically have the worldview of my own feet and a little bit beyond. This is what I know best, is this right here. What has me so bound up that I can't see beyond this? Is it my politics? My politics says this. This is the way the world is constructed. This is the way things should be. Is it prejudice that I might have? Anything that is not in here, in my realm of understanding of order, if it's not in here, then it can't be. Or fears. Fears that something is happening out here that is going to affect me, but I got to make sure this is all well taken care of, because if I don't have this, I don't know what I have. So I wonder if there's something within us that keeps us from looking up and seeing the faces of the world, and then simultaneously seeing the face of Jesus in the faces of the world, and keeping me from spontaneously praising God. And I have good news today. I have good news today. I believe that in our baptisms, God has freed us. God has freed us. Not because of we said something, not because we did something or didn't do something, not because I believed the right way or the wrong way. No, because God's grace claims us. We are free. Free to look beyond our own feet. Free to look into the faces of the world and then proclaim with gratitude in our hearts that they are free also, that the world is free because of who God is and what God has done and is doing. And then praise God. What would it look like if we, as Lutherans, spontaneously prayed and praised God? I know, that's a little scary, isn't it? So Today, my friends, we have an opportunity to look at ourselves. Maybe recognize, yep, what is it in my life that I can only see my feet and a little bit beyond? And then to hear God's voice, to hear Jesus' voice call us over and proclaim to us again, you are free. And then to feel the healing and compassionate and grace-filled touch that allows us to look beyond, to allows us to look in each other's eye with love and proclaim God's glory. May we, sisters and brothers in Christ, may we look up and see Jesus and proclaim that we are free along with the rest of the world, and we are free to live in this relationship of love that God invites us to do. We are free. Praise God. Amen.